Hi, everyone. Welcome to The Window. This is our Group C preview. Group C is contained with Poland, Mexico, Argentina, and Saudi Arabia. It's going to be an interesting group. I think a lot of people are expecting big things from Argentina, not just within this group, but also at the tournament. You look at Mexico, you look at Poland as well, probably challengers to Argentina, and Saudi Arabia is a little bit of an unknown. And we've got a great group of guests here today with us to preview Group C. I just want to go around to start with and introduce everyone and thank you all for joining us. So, Peter, I'll start with you. Thank you for joining us. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, where people can find you on social media, and your connection to Argentina?
Yeah, thanks. Pleasure to be joining you to speak about the World Cup with it being so close now. I run Golazo Argentino. That's where you'll find me on Twitter. I've been living in Argentina now for several years, so cover Argentine football and the national team, the local football here, and that's more or less what I talk about on the online. So if you do follow me already, then you'll know that, and if not, then feel free to, if you are interested in football in Argentina, to give me a follow.
Great, thanks for joining us, John.
Hey, what's up? I'm John Arnold. Run a newsletter called Getting CONCACAF, covering the entire CONCACAF region, but with a special focus on Mexico, especially Liga MX, which doesn't get enough coverage in English. I lived in Mexico for a bit, reported on there for years as Goals Mexico correspondent, and now I'm kind of doing things freelance and independent, so hope people check out the newsletter, and I'm on Twitter at Arnold, John, spell out, no H in John.
Absolutely. Give John a follow, and his newsletter is awesome. I can vouch for that. Ryan.
So I'm Ryan Hubbard. You can find me on Twitter at Ryan_Hubbard. I write about Polish football for various newspapers, magazines, and I run the Pilka UK blog, which focuses on Polish football in English. And I'm also the author of From Partition to Solidarity, The First 100 Years of Polish Football, which is available at all good online bookstores, such as Jeff Bezos's house.
Ryan is definitely the go-to guy for Polish anything, and really excited to have you join us as well. And Martin.
Hi, yeah, I'm Martin Lowe. You can find me on Twitter at Martin_Lowe_. Writing about Asian football in its entirety over the last 10 years. Most of my written stuff now is with The Asian Game, so at The Asian Game, but also other kind of areas as such. So looking forward to the discussion.
Awesome. Well, again, thank you all for joining us. And for our listeners, please give all these guys a follow. They are great at what they do, and we really appreciate them joining us. John, I wanted to start with you and talk a little bit about Mexico, where the team is at and what the expectations are coming into the tournament, because it wasn't your traditional Mexican domination in CONCACAF qualification. Canada had the strongest performance. Mexico at times was never really in doubt of qualification, but really looked like they were not as strong as they have been in years past. Do you think that is going to affect their World Cup performance, or do you think they'll ultimately pull it together and show a little bit better in Qatar?
Yeah, it's interesting because I think the expectation for Mexico, in a lot of ways, has become this routine, right? Mexico gets out of the group and they lose the first game. There's this quest for the quinto partido. Every player that's on this roster has seen Mexico do the exact same thing at the World Cup for every World Cup they've been alive for. So I think it's something that does weigh on the team, whether or not it's something that they discuss. And when you have a frustrating qualification cycle, when you have disappointing performances in the friendlies before, and even going back to the summer of 2021, when Mexico lost a pair of finals to the United States, Nations League and Gold Cup, I think that puts certainly more of a cloud over this team. They haven't done much to lift it. And to be fair, the injuries haven't really given them a reason to. As we're talking, you know, in this discussion, we're not sure if Raul Jimenez, the nine, will be fit. We know that Jesus Tecatito Corona, the second best winger, but still a very, very important player, will not be at the tournament, will not be fit. So there already were questions about where does Mexico's creativity come from? How will they be able to create against top level defenses? And now you're looking at a team where that's just a massive, massive question that looms over everything. At the same time, you know, when we get into the discussion of how does everything look, who's going to get out of the group. Mexico absolutely has a shot. The team that finished second in this group likely plays France, right? Mexico doesn't have a great chance to beat France. And so you're looking and saying, man, it's going to be the exact same thing. That's what seems most likely. And then this, you know, controversy of, oh, well, what is Tata Martino doing leading the squad? Why are these young players not being brought through? How could things have gone differently? Almost becomes a moot point because it's the same. You know, there's a saying, they played like never before and lost like always. I don't know if they'll fit with the first half, but, you know, it definitely seems like they're going to the second. It definitely seems like it's on track for what we've always seen. The difficulty for Tata Martino and for the squad is if you fall just short of that and don't get out of the group, it's the worst Mexico in memory. If you go one step beyond and get to that fifth game, win a single knockout round, you're absolute heroes. So the line of success and failure is extremely thin for Mexico. And I think that adds to the pressure that the poor qualification cycle put onto them ahead of this tournament.
And it is interesting with Mexico because they've struggled not only against the best teams, and to your point of where is that line of where it becomes a success versus a failure, they're going to play Argentina. They're going to play France if they advance and they finish second. And these are just hypotheticals, of course. Argentina, they're going to play. But Mexico has struggled recently. They've lost to Colombia. They've lost to Paraguay, two of those nations that are not even at the World Cup. And I think with the injuries, Mexico feels like a team that is not coming into the tournament with a lot of momentum. And you look at a team like Poland, and we'll talk to Ryan in a little bit, and they're a strong team. And Saudi Arabia also is not a pushover. There's a lot of familiarity with that team. And you look at Mexico, and to me, I am concerned. I think that Mexico is a team that I would not be surprised if they do not make it out of the group. And that matchup against Poland is really going to be, I think, the decider in this group. What are you expecting to see from Mexico against Poland specifically?
Yeah, I definitely think it is the decider. You know, you look at the group and it just seems like that's going to be kind of what matters. The other thing is, okay, if that match is a draw and it comes down to maybe goal difference, you like Poland's chances to put a bunch of goals past Saudi Arabia more than Mexico's because of the questions in attack. You know, are you going to take Raul Jimenez with one leg or Robert Lewandowski with two? It's a relatively easy decision. And so I think that's why it's so critical for Mexico to get a victory, to win that first game. I think one thing that we're going to see, what I'm expecting specifically against Poland, is actually experimentation. And I think that's a frustration for Mexico fans because I'm expecting Tata Martino to try something different, specifically with his midfield. For much of qualification, the two-way midfielders in this 4-3-3 were Hector Herrera and Andres Guardado, these two-way players with lots and lots of experience, but who maybe don't have the speed, can't cover the ground that they used to. And in some cases, don't provide the linking between the back and that attacking trident. I think he's going to play at least one, maybe two younger midfielders, whether it's Eric Gutierrez over on the left, whether it's Charlie Rodriguez on the right. I think one or both of those guys will come in. And I wouldn't be stunned to see Edson Alvarez, who's been this critical midfield base, slide back to center back against a very good Poland attack. So I think this is something where Mexico fans, if that's the lineup that Tata Martino puts on the field, will say, well, where the hell was this during World Cup qualification? Why didn't we try to do some of this during the friendlies? Because that's kind of the point of these games leading up to the tournament. But I do think that Martino has correctly noted, hey, if I just roll out what I rolled out in qualification, it's going to be a quick trip. We're going to be back in Mexico sooner than anyone wants. So I think we see a change from Mexico. Beyond that, the question really is, where will the goals come from? How will they create? And Irving Lozano can maybe do it, but if other players are not fit, then there's an enormous burden being passed to Alexis Vega, a Chivas player, domestic. We've seen him do good things in Liga MX, but untested at the international level. And at forward, you're looking at maybe Funes Mori, a naturalized nine, Henry Martin, who has been tested at the international level and has mostly failed, but had a good season with Blue America. It really, after Raul, the depth is not there, and it's extremely concerning for Mexico. You're absolutely right. They might not get out of this group.
Do you think this tournament's make or break for Tata Martino?
Because he's gone. I mean, he's not going to keep coaching Mexico. He doesn't want to, and Mexico doesn't want him to either. I think it seemed like this kind of marriage was successful at the start, but I think everyone's ready to sign those divorce papers. You know, Martino is casting this figure where he's not outright saying, I can't wait to leave, but all of his body language, all of the subtext of what he's saying indicates that he's ready to go do something totally different. And he's going to have options no matter what happens to Mexico at the World Cup. If I'm an MLS team, I see Tata Martino win MLS Cup with Atlanta United. I don't really care what happens at this World Cup with Mexico. He's still a great manager that I think can help me win MLS. There will be teams in Argentina, even Paraguay, where he coached for a while, who would love to have Tata Martino. So I think he moves into the next phase of his career. And I think Mexico moves on, again, just like always, kind of looking for that fifth game. Unless there is that success, even then, I don't think this continues. I think it's kind of a refresh for everyone in January. But is it make or break? No, I think like he definitely made some mistakes during this cycle, but it's also easy to forget how much good he did. I think he has brought some young players into the group. Maybe they don't get enough minutes. But I think he's done some good things there. I think he's done good things with the setup. He convinced owners to do mini camps, which is something that wasn't really happening. You know, we have seen Mexico make progression under Tata Martino, but obviously what matters is how is the senior men's national team doing? And it's all going to, again, depend on what does he do in those 2 weeks in the World Cup, because that's the standard.
Yeah. When I asked Ryan a little bit about Poland, just hearing what John has to say about Mexico, sounds like they are a vulnerable team and a team that isn't coming in knowing for certain this is our roadmap. Here's what we're going to do at the tournament, confident in what that looks like. How do you think Poland looks heading into the tournament? Do you feel a little more confident in the setup of the team and what we'll see in Qatar?
First of all, I totally agree with what John said in regards to this being the deciding match of the group. For Poland, it is definitely. Normally in Poland, they have the opening match, then the second match is called the match for everything, and then the third match is the match of honor, which is, at that point, they're normally out. It seems a little bit different this time. As we said, Mexico being the first game does seem the winner of that, if there is to be a winner, will likely be the side who joins Argentina in the second round. As for how Poland are leading into the tournament, it's not been the best of preparations. The qualification itself was under Paulo Sousa as coach. And then at the turn of the year, when he decided to just pack his bags and head to Brazil, it left Poland ahead of the playoff match against Sweden in a bit of a lurch. There were lots of talk around who was going to replace him, and there's some high profile names, Andrei Shevchenko, Fabio Cannavaro, and in the end they plumped for Czesław Michniewicz, who had not only a few months before been sacked from Legia Warsaw because he'd led the league champions to the bottom of the table. It was hardly a positive sign, shall we say, but there was a lot of siege mentality in Poland with the departure of Sousa. A lot of anger towards him, and therefore a lot of people getting on the side of Michniewicz, and that important win against Sweden to progress to the tournament was sort of got everybody on side. But the Nations League in the summer, and in particular in the last, I think it was September time, that wasn't very positive for Poland. There were a lot of defeats and a lot of heavy defeats as well. The 6-1 against Belgium in particular was a horrible night. But equally, there was a lot of experimentation. Michniewicz hasn't had a lot of time to build his squad, and he's had to use them Nations League games to try and figure out what he's going to do in Qatar. He's had a lot of help. He was formerly the Poland under 21 coach, so he's been able to draw on his experiences there and bring some younger players to the fore. Some players who have come through, there's the likes of Sebastian Szymański, who's now at Feyenoord in the attacking midfield role. There's Jakub Kivior, who looks to be a massive star in the making, who slotted in seamlessly at sort of left centre-back. And he's also been able to get a little bit out of Lewandowski, but not what Poland want to get out of Lewandowski. The problem Poland have with Lewandowski is that in the national team, he doesn't have the players around him that he does at club level. and we see it time and time again with Poland, where teams will just camp around Lewandowski, and once they can stop Lewandowski, they stop Poland. So that really is the task for opposition teams, is to stop Lewandowski. And Michniewicz's task is to try and get those other players behind him, the likes of Szymański, Piotr Zieliński, maybe someone like Arek Milik or Karol Świderski, to try and be those creative sparks and perhaps give Lewandowski a bit of space to thrive.
Poland's a team that I think a lot of the names may be familiar, but I think the squad in general, Lewandowski's 34 years old. A lot of the midfielders are getting older. Do you think that it's going to be those familiar names, or do you think, based on the Nations League and some of the experimentation you just mentioned, do you think we could see some new names in the squad to try to really unlock Lewandowski, as you described?
I think Poland have the core, which is Wojciech Szczęsny in goal. We have Kamil Glik at centre-back, Grzegorz Krychowiak in the centre of midfield, and, of course, Lewandowski up front. And that's the experienced core, who are all now into the 30s. Lewandowski himself is 34. And then what Michniewicz is trying to do is get some of those younger players to complement them. This Poland team is, we probably like to call it a golden generation, but it's a golden generation without the success to back it up. And this is their last chance, really, to actually emulate some of the sides from 1974 and 1982, which did well on the world stage. Whether it happens or not is highly unlikely. You know, we're not expecting them to finish third in the world again. But this is their last chance. So Michniewicz, he's got one eye on the future as well. As I said, he's an ex-under 21 coach, so he's bringing those young players in. And it's going to be very important. It's going to be a big task for them to step up on the world stage and actually try and fire Poland to some success.
I want to ask Martin a little bit about Saudi Arabia, because a lot of the discussion is around Mexico, Poland. I think there is a broad assumption from most people that are going to follow the World Cup that Argentina is going to finish first, Saudi Arabia is going to finish last, and second is going to be determined between Poland and Mexico. But I think Saudi Arabia is a bit of an unknown, and I don't know that expectation that Saudi Arabia is going to necessarily be a pushover or finish last is an accurate one. What do you see from the Saudi Arabia team that gives you some encouragement that they will be able to outperform expectation in Qatar?
Yeah, I think you're right in terms of external expectation, and that's kind of developed over the years. They're famed as, I think, Mexico and Poland have got a definition of what happens at a World Cup for their team, and this, there is an expectation of Saudi Arabia. They regularly get thumped on their first game. You think back to Germany in 2002 when they lost 8-0. Russia at the last World Cup lost 5-0 on the opening day. What most Saudi Arabian fans wanted when going into the draw was a simpler task in that first opening game. Hence, Argentina being first game is probably not their most ideal of opponents. This team is completely different to kind of the one that was in 2018. So when we went into 2018, Bert van Marwijk guided this team through to qualification the first time for 10, 15 years to get back to the World Cup. He immediately fell out with the Saudi Football Federation and left. And because of the heightened expectation, the Saudi Football Federation started to kind of focus on the quality of football within Saudi football, the young players coming through. And Juan Antonio Pizzi came in as coach, instilled a very positive outlook in the team, a very possession-focused, a very kind of modern way of playing football, which really kind of drew criticism, I suppose, from internally from Saudi Arabia, who are very kind of stuck in their ways, very 90s kind of European-style football. Very defensive looking, very kind of playing off very kind of slow moving attacks, etc. So it didn't really fit at all. And he didn't really have much time to kind of instill that. And hence you saw that kind of displayed straight away, getting thumped by Russia and really kind of struggling at the 2018 World Cup. Since then, Pizzi's gone out. He's been quite extreme in terms of how positive he wanted the team. And you've got more of a pragmatic approach now under Hervé Renard, who's brought in a mix of both from Van Marwijk and Pizzi in terms of started to play to the kind of developing qualities of Saudi football. And I think Saudi football over the last decade has come on a hell of a lot. And I think a lot of people will be very surprised on that. But also having that pragmatic edge in terms of keeping it closed shop at the back, having a very structured focus on the core. And that's been seen over the last kind of year. So in 2022, they've 7 clean sheets in 12 matches. That's completely, that's different worlds away from Pitsy's 4-2, 4-3 games, a bit of a ding-dong kind of way of doing it. And I think that's going to be surprising for kind of anybody that watches Saudi Arabia in this World Cup is how rigid and probably how fixed they are as a team. They're a lot better than probably what outsiders probably think. The fact is you could look down the squad lists, everybody's in Saudi Arabia. There's no players that have made it out to Europe. But I think that's slightly conscious in terms of having that kind of identity as a team. The difficulty for Saudi Arabia, and that will be the case for maybe the next World Cup as well, is the draw that will always come their way. They're always being pot four at this moment in time, unless there's something that's going to dramatically change that they're able to move up the pot. So they're always going to be that kind of consistent, kind of going to be playing teams that are going to be better than them. And I think that's only going to be the difficulty. But I'm going into this World Cup a lot more positive than I was in 2018. I feel more positive than probably John and Ryan do about their chances, because the expectations are low for Saudi Arabia. As long as they don't get beaten 5-6-0 against Argentina in the first game, I think that'll be a success. And then it's a foothold into the tournament to compete potentially against Poland, potentially against Mexico in the latter stages. This side is defensively set up very well. The only bone of contention potentially is going forward. This team hasn't got any kind of goals in it. And as much as I say that there's seven clean sheets in the last 12 matches, they've barely registered a goal. The last official international window, 2-0 draws against Ecuador and United States, illustrates that they've got up to that level now. But scoring, creating opportunities on a regular basis is always the kind of difficulty.
Yeah, they've conceded 3 goals in their last 9 matches, but they also have not scored more than one goal in any of those matches. And I think you get the sense of what you're going to expect from a Saudi Arabia team in Qatar is low scoring, low scoring, low scoring. And they might not be able to do that against Argentina, but you have to imagine that is their formula for success against both Poland and Mexico. I think there are 2 things with this team that I wanted to ask you about that might also be working in their favor. So one is familiarity. Everybody plays in the Saudi League. That is going to be on the roster. And 2 is geography. And will you see a big contingent of Saudi supporters travel to Qatar knowing that it is not that far?
Oh, most definitely. And I think that will be... that's the more intriguing kind of side of things to this World Cup. Obviously, as an Asian football writer, I'm more concentrating on that kind of the World Cup coming to the Middle East. There's a lot of distraction in terms of the negativity of it, which is correct in terms of the assertions to discuss that. But there are positives, especially with when you get away from maybe the Football Federation side of things, maybe around the human rights sort of things, but looking at a human level at the supporters that will attend. There probably won't be too many from Qatar, but there will hell of a lot be from Saudi Arabia. And there's a footballing culture that kind of the West doesn't see that happens in Saudi Arabia. And there's a good reason why a lot of these players play in Saudi Arabia is that they get paid a lot and they're valued highly in terms of being an idol in Saudi society. So I think that will play into it. I'm hoping to see kind of a typical Saudi attendance in place and that atmosphere kind of sending through. I think that collective side of things is always going to be important. They've been able to stop the Saudi league early. So they've been in a camp for the last few weeks. They've already played 4 friendlies behind closed doors. And that's really kind of helped kind of gel things. And I think there's definitely a unity about this team. And I think Saudi football, like many teams in kind of Asian football and around the world, that there is, they have a history of infighting. But Herve Renard has been able to kind of gel this team into a kind of a cohesive, modern-looking side. And I think the ambition of this team will be looking to kind of compete and show themselves on the world stages, not just a kind of an odd team that will get beaten at any stage. but also a team that actually can compete at this high level.
John, I know our time with you is a bit limited here. I wanted to ask you, based on what Ryan said about Poland, what Martin has said about Saudi Arabia and his optimism, what do you expect to ultimately see from this group? Who are you predicting to get out of the group and progress to the knockout stage?
Yeah, maybe it goes against what we're saying, but I think it can be easy to focus on a team's deficiencies and forget about some of the strengths. And that's why I think Argentina goes through top and Mexico goes through second. I think that Guillermo Ochoa at the back for Mexico, the defensive solidity they've had, the fact that Tata Martino's system is well understood by his players and they get what he's supposed to put on the field. And there are some creative players who I think will make one or two things happen. Maybe not the goals we're used to seeing from Mexico, maybe not as spectacular as the 2018 opener in Germany against Germany and Russia, but I think Mexico gets through. Could be regional bias. I'm happy to take regional predictions, and I'm sure we'll hear some differing voices, but I do think El Tri is able to get through in that second spot and then loses once again, but well, that's getting ahead of ourselves.
Peter, we've heard from these other teams, and I think the conversation with Argentina is a little bit different because I don't know if there's necessarily as much focus on the group itself as opposed to how deep into this tournament Argentina can go. There are going to be many people's pick to win the whole thing. What do you think the mindset is right now with Argentina and where they're at headed into this tournament?
Yeah, I mean, I think what you said there is pretty accurate in terms of where Argentina are. They go to this World Cup with a mindset of that they can actually go and win the whole thing, which you look at some of the players, obviously, with Lionel Messi still performing at the standard that he is, and think, well, obviously, Argentina have to be considered favourites. But when you consider where they were just 4 years ago, it's quite astonishing that we're talking about Argentina being in that position. I think for a lot of people, if you'd said 4 years ago after the shambles that they were in Russia, the chaos behind the scenes with Sampaoli leaving, who was going to come in as manager, I think if you'd said then what's more likely in 4 years' time, that Argentina failed to qualify for the World Cup or they go to the World Cup as one of the favourites, I think a lot of people would have gone with the former and thought there's a real chance that there could be a shock in qualification, given how close they came to not qualifying for Russia. And were it not really for Messi's individual brilliance during that campaign, that could have been a reality. So the fact that Lionel Scaloni came in as a real unknown as manager, has been able to galvanize a group, bring in some new faces, get together a really solid 11, get the weight off the shoulders of this generation, off the national team by ending the long wait for a trophy and lifting the Copa America, they can go to Qatar now externally as favorites, but I think able to take some of that responsibility and say, yeah, you know what, we can beat anyone on our day. We've shown that. We beat Brazil in their own backyard to win the Copa America, which not many people beat Brazil away from home, and Brazil go to Qatar themselves as one of the few teams that maybe people would look at as slight favorites above Argentina. But Argentina will say, well, we beat them in their own backyard, so there's no reason why we can't go and beat anyone else that we get matched up with potentially later on down the road at the World Cup.
I think you made a great point about the starting 11 and how the team has really come together to be in this position where they are considered a favorite or right there with Brazil as favorites. I wanted to ask you a little bit about the depth of the Argentina squad. And do you think that's going to be a concern as the tournament progresses and Argentina goes on and perhaps to the semifinals, final? Do you think the depth is going to be a concern at all?
It could be, given that there's a number of significant individuals within that starting 11 that I would deem pretty much irreplaceable. So that's not necessarily a knock on the rest of the squad. And I think Argentina have a decent squad, maybe not as stacked as, say, Brazil's, which I know when that was released this week, everyone was looking out online and saying, you know, look at what Brazil have got and what they didn't even end up taking in some cases. Argentina's maybe not that impressive, certainly on paper, but they do have a very solid group and the spirit within the group, which is something which I think has been very important under Scaloni, is incredible. But yeah, I think the depth, if they were to lose Dibu Martinez in goal, for example, would be someone that would cause a concern for Argentina. I think if Cristian Romero at centre-back was injured, that would be a concern for Argentina. Then I think in the midfield, they've already lost Giovanni Lo Celso, which I think for a lot of people looking on, particularly from a Premier League focus, they might look at Lo Celso as someone who flatters to deceive and is perhaps not that much of an absence given that some of the other players available. But I think for Scaloni, he has been a very important player in that midfield three. So they've already lost him. If they were to lose Rodrigo de Paul or Leandro Paredes in that midfield, that also would be a big problem. And then, of course, Messi and Lautaro Martinez, who there isn't necessarily a natural replacement to play as a number nine, or certainly to that same level. And we're talking about players as well, when we look back at 11 that's been moulded and had great success, this long unbeaten run, winning the Copa America. It's a success that's been built. Yes, these are very good individual players, but where Argentina have finally struck gold, if you like, is the fact that these great individual players have found connections. Messi's been a great player throughout his international career, but the big problem for Argentina for a large part of that has been those connectors. Who does Messi really link up with well on the pitch? And so often we've seen him in the past, therefore having to come all the way back deep into the midfield, almost getting the ball off the centre-backs, having to drive Argentina forward. And what Scaloni's been able to do is by addressing that midfield and finding great partners for Messi in De Paul, in Paredes, in Di Maria still there as well, is finally be able to unlock Lionel Messi and get that smile on his face playing international football, because they get the ball into him higher up the pitch, quicker. So just to go back to your point about those missing players, then yes, there is a concern that there's key individuals in that starting 11. And Argentina will be praying that they don't lose anyone else in addition to Lo Celso over the next few weeks and during the tournament.
Yeah. I wanted to ask Ryan, Poland against Argentina, obviously, Lewandowski, Messi, you're talking about probably the biggest one-on-one star matchup in the group stage. But as Peter rightly pointed out, Argentina is really strong top to bottom, especially in their starting 11. What do you think Poland's strategy is going to be against Argentina? Do you think it's going to continue that narrative of Messi versus Lewandowski, or do you think Poland really is going to take a different approach against Argentina?
I think it's very difficult to say, because the more Poland put on their defense, the more likely they are to fail. I would say Poland's defense is probably their weak point. I did mention earlier that they had Jakub Kiwior, who is a massive talent, but Kamil Glik's getting on now. He's 34 and he's coming to the end of his career, struggling with injuries. You've got Jan Bednarek, who's likely starting next to him, who's taken a lot of flack, particularly on social media and in the media, for his disappointing performances for the national team. And, you know, he's not exactly doing too well in the Premier League either. So I think Poland's tactics is just really, it's the same whether they play against Argentina, Mexico or Saudi Arabia. It's going to be to try and get the best out of Lewandowski and the most that they can get out of him, and hope that that's enough to see them through. The midfield is going to be the biggest part. Like I said, the defence is weak, so it's going to be relying on a lot of creativity in the middle of the park, players like Zielinski and Szymański to try and get Lewandowski into the game. And if they can do that, they could be a real test for Argentina. But the likelihood is that Argentina play the way they want to play, and it will likely be too much for Poland.
Poland has struggled, I think, more recently with really good teams. And you look back at the Nations League and what they did against Netherlands and Belgium, it was not great. You're looking back at their record. They've drawn against England. They've lost to Sweden. They've drawn against Spain. They've lost to England. They've lost to the Netherlands. They've lost to Italy. Argentina's in that group of really strong teams. And in terms of hopes for Poland, if you're going to progress deep into the tournament, you're going to have to beat teams of that quality. How do you think Poland can do that, given that the success has not been there recently?
Well, I hate to keep harking on and back to Lewandowski, but it is getting him into the game. It is as simple as that for Poland. Poland don't have the quality. They do have quality. They have some quality players like Zieliński, who's tearing it up in Serie A at the moment with Napoli. But he's not Poland's focal point. Poland's focal point is solely Lewandowski. As you said, the record against bigger teams has been terrible. We go back to qualification and the 10 games in qualification. Poland won 6, yes. But you look at the teams that they won against. They won twice against Albania, twice against Andorra, and twice against San Marino. It's not World Cup qualification form. When you're playing against England, you need to be getting points again, or be trying to beat England. If you harbour hopes of progressing far into a major tournament, you need to have that ability to beat those bigger teams. And that has always been Poland's difficulty. And it's always been Lewandowski's difficulty too, to score against those bigger teams. If you look at his scoring record, he's scored 70-odd goals for Poland. But the bulk of those goals come against smaller nations. The amount of times in European qualification that you play against the likes of Andorra, San Marino, Georgia, Albania, he scores goals against those teams because the defences can't handle them. As soon as he comes up against the tougher defence and he doesn't have those players around him to back him up, he struggles, and therefore Poland struggle.
And I think it's really interesting with what Martin had said previously about Saudi Arabia and the style of play that they have, where they are at this point tremendously defensively minded. And that sounds like, based on what Martin has said about Saudi Arabia and what you've said about Poland, it's not a given that Poland's going to win that game. Would you agree with that?
I'd agree completely. If Saudi Arabia are defensive and like we say, try to contain Lewandowski, Poland will struggle to break through. The one saving grace for that is that, as Martin said, if Saudi Arabia are not a very attacking team, it lets Poland's defense off of the hook. We could be in for a very boring 0-0 draw. But who knows? It's so difficult to predict when you've got that clash of different styles and different strengths. Who is gonna prevail?
John, I'm curious, based on the feedback from the rest of the panel, are you more or less confident about Mexico based on what you've heard?
I'll tell you, it sounds like Mexico, despite the lack of spark, might be the most entertaining team in the group. Everyone says their team is so boring. I mean, obviously, the exception of Messi and company. But I think, you know, this is in a lot of ways the World Cup, right? Like we look and these groups are set up in such a way, you know, I certainly have feelings about the tournament expanding and going to be looking different. And I think we'll look back on this period with nostalgia, both because of the games that we're going to get and because of our ages. And that's what we're going to remember. But I think like the conversation sort of leads me to think that I should feel good about my prediction of Argentina and Mexico. But I mean, every team has doubts, right? I think it is about the standard. You know, Argentina, I think, has fewer doubts, certainly about the group. The question there is, can they lift the trophy? The depth, I think, is a big issue there. I feel even more confident in my picks now. But I think every country, it's so easy to put the spotlight on what you do terribly, forget about what you do well, and then sometimes in the tournament, you're pleasantly surprised. So we'll see who's smiling at the end.
I want to ask Martin the same question, because he did the opposite. He actually focused on the positives and what Saudi Arabia does well. Are you feeling more or less confident based on the feedback that you've heard from this group? Martin, you're on mute.
Apologies.
Sorry.
I'm going into it a lot more positive than probably I would have feared, I think. The difficulty in the schedule in terms of having Argentina is always going to be problematic. It's difficult for me to imagine Saudi Arabia somehow getting a draw, or even, let's be honest, that you're never going to get a victory. So it's, how do you manage that situation? I've got a lot more positivity now for, from Poland's perspective. I do think Saudi Arabia now under Herve Renard is able to get that kind of unity together. There might be a possibility to kind of contain Lewandowski and maybe have a look at kind of progressing forward in one way or another. I suppose for Poland's sake, the problem is that Saudi Arabia are probably quite happy to get a draw in that match. They're not going to be looking towards progressing out of the group. They'll probably see a draw against Poland as being a quite a positive thing to come out of the World Cup with. In the last couple of games, in the last few weeks, while they've been in Abu Dhabi, Herve Renard, you can see, is starting to think, how are we going to have an attacking force? Because we've got the defence sorted out, but how are we going to kind of progress forward and actually challenge teams in the opposite direction? The problem in Saudi Arabian domestic football is that there's a lot of an influx of highly qualified attacking foreigners into the league, so it doesn't give you the minutes or the development opportunities for strikers in the league. So that there's a they're light on the ground in terms of prolific strikers. In that regard, they've started to kind of experiment with their wing backs, even though they're playing four at the back, but they'll kind of bomb forward those full backs. And I think that'll probably be the route in if Saudi Arabia are going to kind of attack teams, if they kind of have an inkling that these teams are actually a bit fragile in defence, that's probably their threat. But in general, my positivities are the potentially kind of keep the score down against Argentina and then go into that Poland game and keep it relatively tight, and let's see where it goes from there.
Peter, I want to ask your thoughts based on the feedback of the rest of the group as well. How do you feel Argentina matches up against each of these teams? Are you expecting 9 points out of the group? Are you expecting 7 points out of the group? What are your expectations for this group and how Argentina will ultimately line up against these other three teams?
Yeah, I mean, I think Argentina, if they have genuine aspirations of being World Cup winners, then I think they should be looking at a group realistically of 9 points, or if they were already qualified, 7 points. And that's not to be disrespectful to the other teams in the group, but I just think that that's the status they're in. But I think listening to everyone talk about their respective nations, I think the first game against Saudi Arabia could be an interesting one, given the defensive strengths of Saudi Arabia. And also, I think we often look at Saudi Arabia because of the history in the tournament and those results that Martin talked about and the unknown factor. And people immediately disregard them and say, well, they're going to get thumped by any good team that they come up against. And when you look at the FIFA rankings going into the tournament, they have, I think, the worst ranking. But perhaps if you look a little bit deeper, it's a Saudi Arabia team that topped their group in the qualifying above the likes of Japan and Australia. So I think there's reason there to suggest there's a little bit more to Saudi Arabia than maybe some people who don't or aren't aware of the team. And it makes me think that there's a potential for that opening game to be a little bit like in 2014, if you remember when Argentina played Iran, and it was almost a draw, if it wasn't for a moment of magic from Messi right at the end of that game, because they defended in numbers, they frustrated Argentina. And the 2014 Argentina was a decent Argentina as well. It wasn't the 2018 version, which were a shambles. So I'm not saying that Saudi Arabia will come away with a draw from that game, but I think it could be perhaps a little bit more difficult than people are looking at, which in turn could just make Mexico and Poland a little bit more nervous if they do watch on and don't see Saudi Arabia get absolutely thrashed. And then going into those other two games, you know, Mexico and Argentina have a pretty long history of games, which Argentina tend to come out on top in, so I think they'll have confidence there. And then with Poland, again, it's a game that Argentina should be winning, but there's also a little bit of an unknown factor in terms of European opposition, because it's something that South American sides, particularly now, don't play against. Since the Nations League came in, the loss of much more organised friendlies between countries from different regions, Argentina tend to play the South American nations, and if they have an organised friendly, it tends to be from someone from North America in general. So that in itself could be something of interest, just to get that European experience, even if Poland aren't one of the teams from Europe that would be expected to go on and challenge for the tournament. But it would be valuable for Argentina, I think, to play Poland ahead of the knockout stages, when they will have that slight doubt going into games against those teams that are considered challengers from Europe?
I think you make some great points, and want to ask about predictions. And Ryan, I'm going to go to you, but I wanted to throw out some statistics there as well, because one of the things that sticks out to us, and we've mentioned a little bit with Poland, is that their strength of schedule. And so we do some rankings and statistics, and we give Poland actually the second most difficult strength of schedule over the last 3 years. We have Switzerland as number one, playing the most difficult opposition. We have Poland as number two. And so, yes, the results have not been there, but Peter, to your point about competition, Poland has played good opposition. They have had a lot of matches against difficult teams. They've played teams that are as good or almost as good as Argentina, and they've certainly played teams that are better than both Mexico and Saudi Arabia. Ryan, what do you ultimately expect out of this group? Who do you expect to advance? Do you think that that experience with Poland playing such strong opposition, and again, the results have not exactly been there, but they have been battle tested against a lot of those good teams. What do you expect from Poland, and what do you expect from this group?
Well, I've been quite pessimistic so far, so I think it's time for me to show a little bit of optimism. But Poland should be qualifying from this group. There is no reason they shouldn't. It comes back to the opening game again. If you look back at the statistics over history, the opening game is key for Poland. If every time Poland have won their opening game, they've gone through to the next round in either World Cup or European Championships. The problem for Poland is that in their 11 tournaments that they've qualified for, that's only happened twice. So it's probably more of a confidence thing as well for Poland. If they can get a win in that first game against Mexico, that does give them a lot of confidence to go on and get a result against Saudi Arabia. And if they go in with two wins, then that's qualification to the next round. Poland do have a strong enough team to qualify for that second round, and that is very much what I expect them to do. But any further than that would be extremely, extremely over-optimistic. And I think the last 16 would be the absolute pinnacle for Poland.
Martin, do you agree with Ryan? Do you think Poland is going to progress out of this group? Do you think it'll be Mexico and what John said, or do you think perhaps Saudi Arabia has a shock in them?
As much as I can be optimistic, I probably don't think Saudi Arabia, especially in an attacking sense, have enough of them to make a shock. I do think they have the capability to decide this group, though. I say that in terms of, irrespective of what the result will be in the first game between Poland and Mexico, that second game, Saudi Arabia could potentially throw a spanner in the works in terms of derailing the chances. The same would go for the final game as well. And it will be about that confidence that will take him into it. It does dent their confidence in terms of Saudi football, that they tend to get kind of heavily beaten on the first game. So that will be weighing heavily on the players' minds, especially as it's Argentina. No one is expecting them to get a result. If they kind of even get to half time and have a kind of a moderate performance in terms of we're showing ourselves to be worthy of being here, that will be kind of a stepping stone to get to that. In terms of kind of any progression past that, it's going to be difficult, and it'll all be dependent on kind of it's going to be the lottery of a World Cup. Who's going to come through? And I think, at least from Saudi Arabia's point of view, the side itself, the squad itself is settled. We know who we're going to have. All we need is one kind of young player in attacking areas, which they've got a number of them. Of the five options that are in the current larger squad of 33, four of them are under 22. All have got question marks against them, but they're all potentially could kind of have a really good tournament. And that's all that it really takes. And I think it's not a foregone conclusion that Saudi Arabia are going to come bottom to this, and it's not a case that they're going to lose every single match. I think how it more will potentially play out is that Saudi Arabia will decide the fate of Poland or Mexico going through, which I think will be a success in the long term for Saudi Arabia.
Peter, what are your expectations for this group? I assume that you think Argentina will top the group based on what you've said and the potential to even get 9 points out of this group, I think is not impossible, and certainly in the realm of what we might see. What do you think the other teams are going to show, and who do you ultimately expect to progress out of this group?
Yeah, as you said, I expect Argentina to win the group. I think in that sense, they would want to get that done as soon as possible as well. So maybe that could be advantageous to Poland as well, given that they play them on the third game. And if Argentina were able to go out and get wins over Saudi Arabia and then Mexico, and already know that they were going through, then that could potentially see them, you know, change things in the lineup, just have that little bit of pressure off and maybe give an opportunity to Poland. And we could be looking at a group in terms of coming through in second that does come down to the really finest of margins. A lot, we talked about that first matchup and the importance of it between Mexico and Poland. The winner of that would immediately become a hot favourite to go through as second. If it ends in a draw, which given the stakes, you wouldn't necessarily rule out, then things could become really, really tight. And as Martin's already said with Saudi Arabia, I think they could be there as well as real spoilers, but for either one of those two teams. So it's so difficult to say which of those three others you'd expect to go through. I think traditionally you would lean towards Mexico, as they tend to do enough to get out of their group. But I do think it is a group that it could even potentially throw up what could be considered a shock, and Saudi Arabia may even be able to go through, given that we are talking about a Mexico, as we've discussed already, that aren't in the best shape. There's a lot of question marks over them, as Ryan's been talking there, some doubts about Poland as well. So it's a group which is open. You'd lean maybe towards Mexico, but I wouldn't want to put any money on who I'd expect to go through in second.
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot of consensus in this group that it's unknown, I think, beyond Argentina. And I think it's going to make for some really interesting matches, especially the first one between Mexico and Poland. So, Martin, I wanted to just ask, who is your pick to win the tournament, the whole thing?
I'm going safe in terms of Brazil, I think. They're probably one of the only kind of, as kind of was mentioned earlier, in terms of we haven't had, I think this is unique about this World Cup, with the Nations League coming into play and obviously COVID having a massive issue over the last few years, there's not many teams that have played exhaustively across different regions and so on. And obviously not in Asia, in terms of I've just not seen European or South American teams come and play against Asian opposition. The one team that did, Brazil, really impressed me highly when they beat Korea in the summer. We've seen the squad coming through. I think they've got so many options and so many kind of different ways of playing. I think they've got to go into it as favourites.
Peter, what are your thoughts? Do you think Argentina is going to win the whole tournament, or do you think it might be someone else?
I'm going to have to go with Argentina, just with my bias. I certainly think they have the capabilities of doing it, which as I said before, I didn't think I'd be saying. So it's a massive stride forward. I think anything less than going out to a potential winner at sort of the semi-final stage would be a massive disappointment now, given where they've got to. So I would go with Argentina and would love to see them be able to do it, not just for the country, but I think for Lionel Messi as well. It would just be wonderful, wonderful moment in his career after the Copa America, the clear joy and the release that provided. But to go one better and finally win the World Cup would be a really magical moment.
Absolutely. Ryan, do you agree with these picks? Do you think it's going to be one of Brazil or Argentina, or do you think maybe a European team can win the whole tournament?
I have to agree with them. I think it's Brazil and Argentina are the two strong sides who you would probably look towards. The other outside bet from a European perspective, you'd have to say possibly France. I think Belgium are a very strong team. And as a Leicester City fan, we've got a couple of Belgian internationals as well. So it's always it would always be nice to see them. But I think they've just always struggled in major tournaments. So France are one of those teams who they either are very much on it and do very well, or they go out without a whimper. And given their Nations League campaign wasn't exactly great, I think it's probably time for them to perhaps show that they can do it. But it does have to lean towards Brazil and Argentina as the two favourites, and which one I'd probably lean towards Brazil. Sorry about that, Peter. But realistically, it could go anywhere. As we've said, it's such a worldwide tournament in the fact that we haven't seen this worldwide tournament or these games against teams from different continents for almost so long now that it does seem completely unknown.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think a great point that Martin made as well in terms of just you have really not seen the teams from different continents, different confederations playing against each other. And I think a lot of these teams have played teams of similar style or familiarity in their own region. And it'll be really interesting because this is a group that you have four different confederations from Asia, Europe, South America, CONCACAF. And it'll be really interesting to see how it all ultimately comes together. Joe, wanted to ask you for your predictions on this group. I know you're a little under the weather, so we will keep it brief. But who do you expect to ultimately progress out of this group?
Yeah, no, thanks. And thanks to all of our guests. You guys make very compelling arguments. So props to you, because I had an idea of who I thought coming into this, and now I'm not so sure. So props to you for being so convincing. This is probably one of my most interesting groups, I think, because there is a team from, all four teams are from different confederations. And so, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they match up against each other. Since John's not here, I think I can dish on Mexico a little bit. I'm taking Argentina in first. I think this will be a simple task for them. And in second, I'm going to go with Poland, but I do think John made some good arguments for Mexico. Martin did for Saudi Arabia as well. And I do agree with Martin. I think Saudi Arabia has the opportunity to kind of play spoiler in this group. I'm going to go with Argentina and Poland, but that's could definitely not happen. What about you, Brandon?
Yeah, I agree. I think with especially the point about Saudi Arabia, I don't expect them to get out of this group, but I think they are going to make a difference in who ultimately does. And whether that be Mexico, whether that be Poland, I could easily see both of those matches being 0-0 draws. And I could see Mexico really, really struggling against Saudi Arabia. I think the schedule works in Poland's favor a bit because it's possible that Argentina may be on 6 points and know that they're already through. They might even know that they've already topped the group, depending on if we do see a number of draws in the first few matches. So I don't think that match against Argentina is necessarily a foregone conclusion that they will lose that match. I think the schedule sets up a little bit better for Poland. And so I'm going to pick Poland to finish second in this group ahead of Mexico. I've been pretty pessimistic about Mexico. They've got some injuries and some key players are going to be missing from that roster. And to John's point, he said something that we haven't really heard about many other nations as we've been previewing them, is that the coach is essentially gone already. And that's not something that we have heard. We've heard new coaches coming in, and to Ryan's point with Poland making a change, I don't know that we've heard that really, where other nations are just expecting that success or failure. And you will see things where if a team really plays well and maybe the coach is older and a point where they're leaving, it might be a different story. But Mexico, to me, just does not feel like a team that is together, playing well, and ready to succeed at an international tournament like this. So I think Poland's a little bit better positioned to get out of this group. To Ryan's point, I don't know how much further they would ultimately progress. And there is that that matchup against the Group D opponent in the round of 16. And we've talked about France a lot. Denmark's in that group as well. And they could easily top the group and be a tough opponent for anyone here. So I think Poland gets out of this group and finishes second behind Argentina. So that is where I think And to both Peter and Ryan's point, and Martin as well, Argentina is going to be in it, I think, for a long time. I don't expect them to really have difficulty with this group. I do think it is going to be a little bit tricky, though, in the round of 16, because even finishing top of this group, the two teams that I just mentioned, France and Denmark, it's likely that one of those are going to be waiting for Argentina. And Denmark just finished ahead of France in the UEFA Nations League. That's not something that is uncommon. And if that occurs, you could see Argentina against France in the round of 16. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility either. So I do expect Argentina to go deep into this tournament, but I don't think it's going to be easy once the group concludes. So that will be my prediction for Group C.
Good summary.
Thank you. All right. Well, we wanted to take time again to thank our four guests. It's been great having you, Ryan, Peter, Martin, John. Thank you for joining us and really doing a great job talking through all four teams in Group C.
Yes.
For our listeners, please give us a follow at Window INTL Pod, The Window. You can find myself, Brandon, at we_global on Twitter. We Global Football, international football, statistics, rankings, odds, anything you want to know about international football and the numbers we have you covered. And please give Joe a follow as well at 12th Yank on Twitter. And thank you all for listening again to our World Cup preview. It's been great having you, and enjoy Group C.